What's up, No Nation? It's the guys from Plant the Spear. I'm Jesse. That's Jeff, our lead baseball writer here. And we are coming to you with a rivalry recap as Florida State wins a thriller against the Gators in, man, what had to be one of the best college baseball games I have ever watched. Just the ending was so dramatic, man. It was so much fun. I know, as most of you guys know, I live 7 hours away from Tallahassee, you know, about 5 hours from Jacksonville, all the way up here, and I could barely contain my emotions. I was like running around, just yelling. I was so excited because, man, they had me on the ropes there for a minute. I thought all hope was lost, but they come through. And of course, this comes on the heels of winning the series against Miami. So really just a great week to be a Florida State Seminoles baseball fan. And so that's what me and Jeff are going to talk about today. We're going to go through rivalry recap. We're going to talk about that big Florida win. We're going to talk a little bit about what we saw in the Miami series. We are also going to look at just kind of where Florida State, where this team stands about halfway point through the season. They're a little bit over halfway, I believe, now. So we're going to talk about where they stand. And then this weekend, they go up to South Bend to take on Link Jarrett's old squad, the Fighting Irish. And so we are going to jump into a quick preview of what they're going to face there against Notre Dame. So, Jeff, thank you so much for joining me, my man. And tell me what you were feeling last night when you watched Alex Lodi's absolutely launch one over the right field fence to give Florida State just a dramatic win over the Gators.
I mean, Jesse, I mean, it's kind of like a roller coaster. We've talked about this before, you know, the ups, the downs, the ups, the downs. And normally the downs is when the bullpen comes in. We've discussed that on the phone numerous times through text and all that. Honestly thought that that's where it was headed last night. You know, giving up the lead in the top of the ninth, I was almost for certain. And I don't give up on the team, but it was kind of, here we are again, midweek, stubbing our toe. And then the captain shows up. It's going to be like that. The captain showed up and he lived out every child's dream. I mean, everybody that watches baseball, has played baseball, anything to do, even softball, has dreamed of bottom of the ninth, bases loaded, down to your last strike, which we wasn't. I mean, we had no outs, but hitting the walk-off grand slam to win it all. And what made it even better was it was against Florida. It was against, you know, the geckos of Gainesville is what I like to call them because that's what they are to me. That's probably the worst fan base. That's the most hated fan base in this household for me. I can handle, you know, a thunderstorm from Miami every now and then, but I can't stand a Gator. But I honestly thought, just thinking broad of the game last night, was the bullpen, which has normally been our short thing, is what showed up. That was what I was most impressed with, even though, you know, Lodi's hometown boy hits for the cycle, you know, and you've seen it through us, through many groups, many animals of Section B, you know, they went crazy about it. But what I was impressed about last night was the bats showed up for once in a midweek, which has struggled even since Jacksonville when we played the Dolphins. They struggled there. And just the way the bullpen showed up, especially – Joe Charles, you know, three innings, one run, two walks, four strikeouts. I mean, he was 50% on a strikeout to walks.
Yeah.
Strikeout to balls. I mean, then Kinnear, which we've all been pronouncing it wrong the whole time. Yeah. We've been doing these. Kinnear showed up. I mean, that was the thing. Normally you see the midweek, Link uses eight arms in a midweek game, what it seems like. And last night he used four. I mean, and that's what impressed me. But going into Jacksonville, especially after our first loss of the season at home to Florida, the way that one was, I was very scared about how that game was going to show up.
Yep.
The broadcast wasn't too good at the beginning.
No, it was not.
You know, it was horrible. But all in all, I think what impressed me was the way that the bullpen showed up.
Yeah, I agree, man. And I really think, to touch on a few points that you said there, like when you go back and you look at this team, you also have to understand, for those watching, that, you know, Evan Crest was not available because he's been out with injury. And so your midweek starter wasn't there. So now when you look back to the last Florida game, like you said, man, I was a little bit nervous because you wondered where, like, okay, our offense is pretty good, right? It's maybe better than what we expected it to be this season. But that midweek pitching without Evan Kress there was kind of like a what's going to happen. You know, it's a sum of all its parts, and it's not always been great. It wasn't great against Florida the last time, you know, struggled against Mercer as well. And so you were really kind of wondering what you were going to get. And coming off of that big series win over Miami, you were like, man, if we can just get this game, the momentum train is going to be at full steam ahead. But if you were to drop this one again, then, you know, you just would have had to deal with Gator Twitter and all that stuff. And like you said, man, I mean, Miami fans are probably – Miami's my most hated rival in between the two, at least in football anyway. I think it's maybe Florida for baseball because Miami doesn't really have any fans, so you don't really have to deal with them too much. But Florida fans, you know, you give them an inch and they take a mile. So this was nice to feed them a heavy dose of humble pie there. But, you know, we were talking about it before we jumped on the show, and this was just a massive win because – you know, when you think back to really being a Florida State fan in general, with the way the last couple seasons have unfolded, you know, you had the snub in football and the basketball team is struggling. And then, of course, the check swing out there in Omaha really was a kind of heart ripper there. This might have been the biggest singular, most exciting winning moment since taking home the ACC championship in football in 2023. And so it was awesome to see the videos from the people that were there in front of a sold out crowd in Jacksonville as well. And then, you know, of course you do have to play Florida one more time in Gainesville on April 8th to decide the series. But to kind of piggyback off of what you said there, man, I think really my biggest takeaways from the game last night was I was proud of the fight of this team, right? They came into this, you know, you'd already kind of lost that game against Florida. You didn't have one good game against Miami there. You had two good games, but that middle game was kind of a tough one there for you. I was proud of the resilience because we've talked about this before. It does seem like with this team, sometimes when they get behind, they hang their heads a little bit early, and you were worried that they were going to be able to fight back in these types of moments. And so I think that this could be, and I said this in an article that I wrote over at plantthespear.com, if you guys want to check that out with the rivalry recap, is that I think this can be like a program-defining moment, right? This is one where you can, at least for this team, you can go look back at that when adversity strikes and you can say, hey, man, look, we were down to basically, like you said, I mean, we were down to our final few outs there. We had kind of collapsed the lead, but we were able to bounce back when adversity struck and we were able to come out on top. So let's not get out of the fight, man. Let's not hold our heads down. Let's rally around our leaders, which is great to see that your captain was able to pull that off. And then again, proud of the bullpen, man, for all the crap that we give this bullpen, man, when we needed them, they came through. And like you said, Joe Charles was big there. John Abraham started things off. I think that was good too. Kinnear there, and then, you know, to close it out there, you had Hudson Rowan. So, I mean, I think it was really an all-around good performance. Got a little shaky there at the end. I ain't gonna lie, it did. But, you know, it was great to see them get the win. And what an absolute finish. What a day for Alex Lodis. This guy is making himself some money this year, I mean, in the MLB draft. He's a great fielder to begin with. I mean, just out here making ridiculous SportsCenter top 10 plays. And then you also look at – this is a guy who started his career at North Florida literally less than 10 miles from the ballpark this game was played in last night. Becomes the first Seminole to hit for the cycle since 2019. He's right now batting .475, 8 home runs on the season, 30 RBI, scored 29 runs, and 15 multi-hit games. You just can't ask for more than your veteran leader there. So give me some thoughts on Lodis and the season that he's having so far.
Well, Lodis is that he's kind of that difference from last year. You know, last year we relied on Tibbs, on Cantu, on Cam Smith, on the long ball. And I done it in the preview, in the season preview. You know, when Lodis and Ferreau are hot, they're hot. When they're not, they're not. And what I love about Lodis this season, it's like the game has slowed down for him. Mm-hmm. He's taken that major league approach. And that's what Link talks about. If you watch some of his post games, he takes that major league approach. His pitch selection's better. The game's slowing down. He's not trying to do too much. Now, the opening series against James Madison, the first game, he was pressing. Ever since then, he's been lights out. And what really impresses me about it is you've got Gage Harrelson who's leading it off. And the leadoff man should lead your team in on-base percentage. But Lodis does with 509. And then the slugging percentage is what stands out to me. 781 slugging percentage, and you went down the stats. That's what stands out. Now, in the field, I'm just going to say it. Derek Jeter-esque, just every time something happens, it reminds me of, well, the captain, because that's what he was for the Yankees.
Yeah.
Jeter. I mean, he reminds me so much of Jeter. I mean, even the way he swings the bat is kind of Jeter-esque. And kind of piggybacking and backtracking on what we mentioned earlier about the game last night about it, you brought about the resilience and how it's going to build for the next. You know, that ninth inning you drop that lead, it's over for you.
Yep.
What impressed me and what it has impressed me, even for Lodice, is you can see in the game where he doesn't try. Now, there is players, especially the Florida game, the first loss, Mercer, it's like they're trying to do too much.
Mm-hmm.
And what's impressed me, Lodice just gets in there. He takes what's coming to him. He's making good to almost great pitch selections. And it's just – it's great to have it. I mean, it's money year for him. And he's going to go – I mean, you're going to have Jamie Arnold go first round more than likely from the pitching staff. But I see Lodice going – I mean, he could go second round.
Yeah.
Easy, especially money-wise, because he's going to get it. But that's about – I mean, Lodice is just – he's kind of finally grown into that player that we all thought he could be last year. And just his pitch selection. Now, the pop, where did that come from?
Yeah.
You know, he's only three home runs behind Max Williams for second on the team with seven. I mean, but it's like – where did that come from? That's something we didn't see last year. And that comes with the growth and the maturity into the game. And you see it. I mean, he even mentioned it after the game last night. He said, you know, we're going to fight. You know, we're not out of it. And you've seen it. It's like that team last night matured.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, yeah. Yep.
Where normally in the ninth inning, you know, if you'd have got up – you're down a run, your first man's going to try to belt it over the wall, try to win it, you know, or try to tie it up. And then you'd have had the next batter, which I believe was Fisher. I can't remember who come up after, but he, you know, he got hit. But normally Hunter, you're swinging.
Yeah.
Hunter Carnes. Yeah, you're trying to do too much there. And I texted you, you know, when we seen bases loaded. And I was like, Gage Harrelson's going to walk it off. You know, then he legs it out. And I was like, oh, I meant Lodice.
Yeah.
You know, but you see the maturity of that team, and it all comes from the leaders, and that's Alex Lodice. You know, him and Jamie Arnold, you see the maturity of this team finally manifesting to what it could be and what a actual Link Jarrett team is, because that game last night would not have been won without a Link Jarrett mentality in its players. And they done what this team, and I've messaged you and we've talked about it. This team's built on taking what the pitcher gives them, small ball.
Yeah.
And you've seen it last night, you know, just little singles, get runners on base, a bunt, a hit by pitch. And then you let a big bat come up and that's all she wrote. But
yep.
Lopez this season, man, phenomenal. Probably in my eyes, if not the best shortstops in the country. But one of the best players in the country.
Yeah, man, I'm with you there. I wholeheartedly agree. And I think, you know, when you talk back about, like, what this team is this year, I mean, that was some of the questions that we had coming into the season, right? Was, like, who was going to step into be these leaders when you had a Jaime Ferreira, a Marco Dinges, a Cam Smith, a James Tibbs moving on from this roster? Like, who's going to step up? And so now you've seen the guys like the Max Williams, like the Lodies, step into those leadership roles, and it's been big for this team. And I do think, too, like you said, it's going to look different this year. It's going to be more of a small ball team. But the power and the pop has still actually been there. I think after last night, they're at 43 home runs, which is not too shabby. They are pretty high up in the stat run there in their home runs. And so I want to talk about a couple of quick quotes here from after this game. And then we're going to spend a few minutes just talking about what we see from Florida State as a team about midway through the season here, kind of some of our strengths, some of our concerns that we're looking at here. You know, and again, of course, just a huge win over Florida, obviously coming off the back of a series win against Miami. I just can't mention that enough that, you know, you got to rub it in the rivals here. Absolutely dusted the Canes in that first game. And then, you know, again, you saw the resilience in that last game. So like you said, I think over this last, it feels like, since they bounced back off that Mercer loss, and this is something that you heard Link Jarrett talk about. He was like, look, man, it was not a fun Tuesday night. It was not a fun trip down to Miami for that Thursday series. Since then, I know things were rough on Friday night in that game, and you know, maybe there's some things there that you can look at, but this team feels like they've really matured over these last four games, and they're really kind of finding themselves. And, you know, it's funny, Lodi said last night after the Grand Slam there, said that I blacked out rounding first base. I was yelling. I'm going to lose my voice tomorrow probably. I let it all out. I knew as soon as I hit it, it was one of the best feelings I've ever had. And like you said, man, that was every kid's childhood dream. You know, I remember back a kid playing baseball in my side yard. We had a fence, you know, and I would always just picture like, this is that moment. You know what I mean? You're trying to hit it to win the game. And I can only imagine the unconscious feeling that he had, because I was couldn't contain myself 7 hours away, you know. But then you hear Link talk about it. He said, man, I just can't say enough about the tenacity of the guys, because you're really one pitch, one out away from winning this thing, and then to have it snatched away, and then the at-bats there in the bottom of the ninth. Because really, I mean, honestly, they were literally one pitch away from putting this game away. And then adversity struck, and, you know, I texted you during that sequence of events there. I was like, oh, man, what a collapse. They're going to have to make magic happen in the bottom of the ninth. And, boy, did they ever. The magician, Alex Lodi's, came through there. He said exceptional all the way around. Couldn't be more proud of the performance from start to finish. So, I mean, obviously, you know, Link's got some things that he wants to get cleaned up there. But, again, it was just huge to get this win because, again, like we said, man, if you had lost this game, I think you would have kind of derailed the momentum train a little bit. But now you keep that rolling going up to South Bend. So let's talk a little bit about what we're seeing from this team about halfway through the season as conference play is really picking up. Obviously, you've played Boston College, one of kind of the lower teams in the ACC. You got the sweep there. You beat Miami in the series win there. They're not having the greatest of years. Now you get Notre Dame, and then things start to get a little bit tougher as the season progresses with some tough series against some tough teams. So where does Florida State stand here? Now, the stats that I have not been updated for yesterday's midweek games, so we're going basically off of what it was after the Miami series. But Florida State comes into this game. First off, I mean, you are 21-3. That is a great record. You're number 4 in the D1 baseball rankings. You are top 5 in batting average. You're top 5 in ERA. You're top 25 in scoring. You are tied for 13th in home runs. Again, that's not been updated since the two you added yesterday. You're top 30 in fielding percentage. Man, I think this, Jeff, when I look at these numbers, I think the first thing that stands out is this is, like you said, man, this is a Link Jarrett coach team. You are top 5 in ERA, and you are a great fielding team, 28th in fielding percentage. But I think the thing that surprises me the most is how good this offense has been. Now, it's inconsistent at times, right? There's some things, like you mentioned, they try and do too much at times, which we've seen, and everybody wants to be the hero. But I think when you look at top 5 in batting average, you know, also top 15 in home runs and top 25 in scoring, I think the offense has been kind of that pleasant surprise. So if they don't get ahead of themselves and they stay true to what has made them successful, man, I think you've got a great combination of offense and defense here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing is you look at it as a whole. When we press, honestly, when we press, we lose. And that's the way it's been. And normally when we're pressing, we're behind. I mean, you look at the three losses we've had. You know, Florida jumped out the first time we played them, jumped out ahead. We knocked on our heels. And then Crest goes down with an injury. It kind of took the wind out of us.
Yeah.
The Mercer game, that one, were they looking ahead for Miami? It could be, you know, give or take. I mean, normally you can. But so far I'm surprised because I thought going into this season – all the weight was going to be on the pitching staff. It was going to be, you've got to rely on the pitching staff, the starters, to go at least 6 innings.
Yeah.
But the offense has been, like you said, that surprise, that subtle, that nice surprise, because coming off last year, I would have never thought that Lodi would have been what he is right now. I would have never thought Ferreau would be what he was. Or, you know, Max Williams showed it at times, especially in Omaha last year. But when you lose so much production from last year, from Cantu, Dengus, Jaime, Tibbs, and Smith, it makes you wonder. You know, that's why in the preview I would compare them to the football team from last year. You know, you lost so much from them with Verse and Keon and J-Trav and all that. And we've seen what happened there. We're not going to talk about that. I mean,
yeah,
nightmares are meant to be forgotten.
This is a positive show. We don't need that negativity in our life right now.
Hopefully greater days are coming.
Exactly.
But the thing is that really impressed me about what this team is so far is they're finally, like I said earlier, they're adapting to what we've seen a Link Jarrett team be. They're adapting to small ball. They're adapting to just the mentality that Link brings. And people can say what they want. Go look at Notre Dame when Link was there. He took that program from shambles to knocking off Tennessee and making it to Omaha to leaving. You know, now we will get hit on them here in a minute, but now you see what Florida State's becoming, where, I mean, 3 years ago, Meade's final season, this was not this team. The mentality's different. But this year, I kind of enjoy watching them just because you never know who's going to be the hero. I mean, go look at the Jacksonville game. DeLamalier, if it wasn't for him, that would have been our first loss.
Yeah.
And who in the world, even when he got in the box, I'm like, who's DeLamalier?
I agree.
I was like, I know the guy. I've seen his name, but who is he? You know, and then I love how Link has done that, molded it, but he's also mixed the veteran with the new guys. Because how many of us would have thought Miles Bailey would be what he is so far this year?
Man, the kid is special.
I mean, he compared Miles Bailey to Jared Verse on a baseball field, and the size, it replicates.
Yeah.
But this year, the offensive side is just being – they're almost matching last year's numbers in my eyes, and they're doing it in unconventional ways, and that's what I love. Then you look, you know, at the pitching side, away from last weekend, still the best three-man rotation the country has. And I know Jamie Arnold maybe celebrated a little too much on his birthday before the game. We'll take it on the
too much birthday cake before the game.
Well, too much Miami atmosphere and too much birthday cake is what I'm thinking.
He had a little Carson Beck syndrome going on, maybe.
Oh dear God, hope not. I hope he kept his Snapchat off.
Yeah.
But all in all, I'm proud of where this team's at. I like where it's at because this team is built to make that long run into Omaha. And what Link said last year after the loss to Tennessee is showing true. Last year, they went into the portal. Year before last, they went into the portal after the horrendous 23 season, and they got the pieces that could get them to Omaha. And he said that after the Tennessee loss, they got to go find the pieces that can win Omaha. And you look at it. Joey Vellini, 0.99 ERA, sub 1 ERA. 52 strikeouts. I mean, you put him, Jamie Arnold, Mendez, bring Kress back when he's healthy. You got something we're missing from last year, and that's the pitching depth off the mound to start with. Because last year in Omaha, you had Jamie, you had Connor Whitaker, and then you had you had some bullpen guys.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, once you got past, you know, that two or three games, you knew a bullpen game was coming and you were going to struggle. Yep. But all in all, I love where this program is, where the offense is this year, where the whole team is, because they're showing that mentality that Link has preached ever since he got here.
Yeah, man, I agree. And to touch on the pitching real fast, I wholeheartedly agree, man. I think you got the best starting trio in the country. I think, you know, those types of games for Jamie Arnold, it's going to happen occasionally to everybody. Everybody just has an off day. Obviously, they found something against him in that game. But Jamie Arnold has proven himself repeatedly against great competition. I am the least bit worried about what Jamie Arnold is as a pitcher. And I think it's huge, man. Like you mentioned, you've been able to add Joey Vellini, who – at first, I kind of had questioned, like, okay, well, how good can he be against a better competition? Let's just kind of see how the season unfolds. Now, there's a lot of tough games going forward, but, man, he has been unconscious on the mound so far. I think he might be one of your best pitchers so far. I mean, he has been, frankly, unhittable, and so I'm excited to see how that plays out. I think you can't say enough about Wes Mendez as well and what he's brought to this pitching staff. And then, you know, again, like if you can get Evan Kress back, looking at the postseason, I'm not even going to put this cart before this horse, but, you know, there's another pitcher there that if you could get back, a Cam Leiter situation, man, you would have one of the deepest starting rotations in the country. I'm not going to get excited about that because I don't know that that's ever going to happen. But at the same time, man, these three have been huge, and now you're starting to see these reliable arms coming out of the bullpen a little bit here. You know, you got Kinnear. Peyton Prescott's a guy I love. I mean, he's just slinging gas out there, 97 miles an hour sometimes. You know, you're also seeing some of these other guys that are really coming through. Joe Charles is a guy that I like. John Abraham's a guy that's been big for you. So, like you said, man, last year what really killed us was pitching depth. And so this year, if you compare the depth with a lethal offense, I think you can make a deep run. It's just going to have to keep getting better over the season. You are pairing a lot of the young guys. We've seen BJ Gibson, Miles Bailey be two guys that have been huge for you as well. You know, I think really, I know it's hard from an offensive standpoint. Gage Harrelson's got to be one of the best transfer portal additions this season. I absolutely am a huge fan of Gage Harrelson and watching him play. Now, on the flip side of that, there's some things you got to clean up, right? You still got, I think we got some, this is me personally, these are my views. I think you got some catcher issues, right? We have some issues with blocking balls, with some pass balls there. Some of these throws down to second base to pick runners off are just horrendous, right? Now, good for Carnes, kind of bounced back after a rough one last night and actually did throw a frozen rope to second to get a guy, catch a Gator base runner stealing there. But that's something that I think needs to get better, because something that you're seeing in that, this is something we saw with Miami, and this is something that you saw Florida copy and paste that game plan, where they know they can pressure you on them base pass because you don't really have that strong arm behind the plate. And he's just a freshman, so, like, you know, you got a couple other options there. But they haven't been great at throwing runners out either. So they're starting to pressure you. They're starting to get really aggressive on the base pass. So that's something you're going to have to catch up on, because I think a lot of what they did on Friday night against Jamie Arnold kind of got in his head, kind of distracted him too with how they were just pushing it on the base pass with Miami there. I think your pitching reliability is something that I feel better about, but it's still maybe not where it needs to be when we're talking about Omaha, right? Or super regionals. I think those are some things that could get a little bit better there. The offense has been great, but like we talked about already, there's some inconsistency there too. You got to stick to the game that makes you good and not try and do too much. But overall, man, I think like the apathy that we felt after that Mercer game, and hey, look, guys, you can be disappointed in the loss. It doesn't mean it's the end of the world. We lost to Mercer last year, and we're one of the final four teams standing in Omaha, so it's not a huge deal. But you just trust Link, and you trust the process. He'll get these things cleaned up before the end of the season. He's rotating a lot of guys so that if something happens, you have that depth there. Hopefully you get a few guys back. But, man, you know, this team's not perfect, right? But it's baseball, and it's not about being perfect. It's about being hot at the right time and doing enough to put yourself in position to win in the postseason. And I think that's really what they're doing. So give me some thoughts on some of the things that maybe need to be cleaned up, and then we'll talk about this Notre Dame series coming up.
One of the biggest things, Jesse, I mean, you talked about it. I mean, we try to be positive. That's the first and foremost thing.
We're positive, but we're real.
Yeah. Leaving runners on base has been the biggest.
Oh, drives me nuts.
Biggest piece of meat, I'd say, between my tooth that just aggravates me.
Yeah.
Because up until last night, like I said, they haven't even updated their stats yet. But up until last night's game, we had left 207 on base.
That's a,
and I know, I can't remember how many I had it wrote down on another little notepad, but I misplaced it. But we're leaving, even if we get half the runs in, you're looking at the best offense in the country.
Yeah.
I mean, you're averaging 9 runners a game left on base. And there's been, I don't know how many times, I want to say I calculated up like 8 times we've left multiple runners on base in a crucial inning.
Yep.
And that's what I thought last night was going to be, honestly. I thought bases loaded, here we go. We, for some reason, you know, the animals like to say ducks on the pond and blow the duck calls. And the robber sins and duck commander is going to be really mad at us right now because I think we're going to miss out on all these ducks on the pond.
Yeah. I mean, we happened wrong in the first inning.
Yeah. I mean, we were wrong, you know. Lodi's had the right amount of birdshot in his barrel and put it over the fence. But – you mentioned Gage Harrelson, and it just made me in my mind compare. Gage to this team has been almost a Keon Coleman to the football team 2 years ago. You know, Vellini, this comparison is going to be a big one. Vellini, in my eyes, if you're talking transfers that's come in, that's Jared Verse.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at him, 6-0, 36.1 innings pitched, 22 hits, 6 runs, 4 earned, 7 walks to 52 strikeouts.
That's ridiculous numbers.
I mean, that right there is just – and when Jamie Arnold's on, Jamie Arnold and Wes Mendez is your best pitcher, and Vellini's kind of your lower one. But the things I would love to see cleaned up, getting back on topic, is the bullpen needs to show up. I mean, that's our biggest thing, because you look at last year, bullpen let us down.
Yeah.
And just too many free passes, too many hit by pitches, too many – I mean, just can't find the zone.
Yep.
And I know I talked to you about it a week ago or something, but it's like we can't replicate – we can't paint the picture of the first inning for the relief pitcher. That first inning they come in, it's beautiful. Then the second inning, they forgot their paintbrush. They cannot even find the zone or the canvas or anything just to try to get it near there. And that's where our struggle is Joe Charles, they could come in and pitch a beautiful inning, and then next inning up until last night, it was kind of a struggle. So cleaning up the bullpen, which is, like you said, was our Achilles heel last year in Omaha, and just quit leaving so many runners on base. You know, give what's taken to us, you know, hit, you know, take the ball. If it's thrown outside, take it to right field. You know, kind of what a coach that I remember used to tell me, pass the bat. If they would adapt that mentality a little better, and they did last night, we wouldn't leave so many on base. And that's really the thing that concerns me still going forward, is the left on base runners and the bullpen.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And it's things that can be cleaned up, right, by just sticking to your game. And you know, again, we saw a great example of that last night against Florida in the ninth inning, which is what Link talked about after the game about, you know, you took the walk, then you got the hit by pitch, then you took the other walk, and you just you singled enough to get a run in. And then you had, of course, the home run or the grand slam to win the game. So you just did enough, and that's all you need to do. You know, pass the bat, like you said, it's a great example. And so, yeah, man, I think they'll get things cleaned up. They just got to get hot at the right time. They got some tough games, some tough series coming up. You got Clemson, North Carolina there as well. Some tough ones. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what this team is made of. But, man, you can't ask for a better start. 21-3, top 5 in the country so far. I just love this team, man. You know, it may be like the apathy of the football program last year struggling and the way things went for them last year, and then they're off to a hot start this year. I mean, I've always been a fan of the team growing up around Mike Martin teams, and my brother used to go to Mike Martin baseball camp. As they say, since I've been knee-high to a grasshopper, I've been around this baseball program, and I love it. But, man, this is just a fun time as any to watch this team. Now, one thing that I forgot to mention before we jump into this Notre Dame preview is – we do want to give a tip of the cap to Cam Smith, who, you know, was a part of this program last year, just playing in Omaha a few short months ago, gets the call up to go play, make his debut in the majors with the Houston Astros, man. The video that we put out, I shared it on social media. If you guys want to check that out. It's just, I mean, it wrenches at your heart, man, to see this. This is, again, like we talked about with Lodice, this is every little kid's dream who plays baseball, to be called up to the majors, to get to the big show. And now, I mean, I saw that he was one of, like, the fastest players really to ever get that call right away. And so, you know, just super proud of Cam Smith. Really just want to wish him the best in his MLB career there with the Astros, and just big stuff, man. I mean, that's a huge moment. They brought his family in. They made the call. They gave him the news. It was a very emotional moment, man. It was super, super special. So shout out to Cam Smith getting his shot in the majors there. So, man, give me some thoughts on what that moment meant to you as an FSU baseball fan. And then we'll talk about this Notre Dame series and wrap the show up.
Tearjerker.
Yeah.
That's the only word I can – that's the only little, you know, phrase I can say was tearjerker, because to see – the manager do what he did and act like he was calling his parents in. And then, I mean, as soon as you knew, you heard it in the background.
Yeah.
You know, you knew it was something big. And when they panned around and showed Cam sitting in his locker crying, I mean, that's what everybody that's ever put on a uniform dreams of.
Yeah.
you know, is getting that call up. I mean, look at the movie Major League. There was a scene in there where they put little red slips in lockers and Charlie Sheen thought he got cut. You know, he was ready to kill the guy that played the prank on him, you know, but it's the dream. It's what we thought Cam, it's what we knew Cam Smith was going to do. Now, to do it as fast as he's done has been completely impressive. I'm just proud of him. I'm looking for the day that Dingus and Tibbs gets that call.
Yeah.
Another one that I'm looking for to get the call, and that's a real good friend of mine from years ago. That's Parker Messick.
Yeah.
Waiting for him. But for Cam to do it in the short time he's done it, from what he meant for this program last year, I mean, no words can express the gratitude and the feelings that we have at Plant the Spear. I know the animals, Johnny Mack and all them in Section B has, and just this fan base and this program has for him. Because, you know, for that to happen, especially, I mean, it happened yesterday. So on a day we beat Florida, oh, that's even better.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally the icing on the cake, man. You couldn't you couldn't have written a better story there. And, you know, I mean, it's got to help in recruiting too. You know, when you look at what the players that Link Jarrett is putting out, and I think you're going to have some guys who have a chance to be really special again off of this team when the draft comes around too. So huge shout out again, tip of the cap to Cam Smith there with the Houston Astros. Now let's talk about this Notre Dame series coming up, as this is the challenge that lays ahead of Florida State. This weekend, you know, they got to go on the road. They haven't really had to travel a whole lot. This is their first series out of the state of Florida, if I'm not mistaken there. Got to go up to South Bend to face a familiar foe for Link Jarrett, his old team. And like you said, man, he had them humming. They're not humming. They're humming a little off tune this year. It's not been so great for the Irish, but this is still a team that you can't overlook. I mean, they're 12-9 on the season, only 1-8 in ACC play. They, of course, they've had to play a lot of games in the South because it's still cold in Indiana. So they're only 1-3 at home with only 4 home games so far. They did get swept by Wake, who is a really sneaky good team this year. And you got them coming up on the schedule, too. They did lose the series at Clemson, but they did take a game from the Tigers there. That's why I say this team is kind of dangerous here. You can't overlook them. They did get swept by Georgia Tech, who's actually not a bad team. I believe they were in the D1 top 25, if I'm not mistaken, in the low 20s there in the most recent poll. So Georgia Tech sweeps them this past weekend in their most recent series. Now, they do play Michigan State tonight on Wednesday night, depending on when you're watching this. They have not had their midweek contest this week yet. But, man, I'll throw it to you for some thoughts on this team. But, you know, when you look at Notre Dame, again, this is a series that you feel like Florida State should go up there as long as they can, you know, follow the 24-hour rule, like they say in most sports, you know, celebrate that Florida win and then kind of bury things and turn your focus to Notre Dame. Don't let the emotion hang over, because this is a team you should beat. 249th in batting average at 250, 134th in ERA at 5.76, 144th in scoring, 6.8 runs per game, 71st in fielding percentage. You got the advantage in the stats category, but you're going on the road. It's your first long trip away from home. I'm excited about this one. I know you've watched some film on them. You've done some digging. Let me know what you're seeing from Notre Dame and how you feel like the series is going to play out.
Well, it's going to play out, Jesse. If you're going to want me to be honest about it, it's going to be a great reunion for Link Jarrett. Because like you said, Link had them humming, had the motor humming. Well, it seems like that engine has not been serviced since Link Jarrett has left, because they just struggle. I mean, it was a program that I thought, you know, watching them, I'm like, well, there's some stuff there. There's some, you know, they got one decent bat. Parker is what I'm going to name. I'm not going to butcher his last name because there's enough letters in that last name.
We had a hard enough time saying Kinnear, so let's just leave that one off the table.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you want me to pronounce it, I'll just call him Bratswurst because that's the way it looks like it's spelled. But he's batting 380 of the 465 slugging percentage. That's really about it. I mean, you have one other bat that I'm concerned about, Beano Waters, but he's only batting 295.
Okay.
He's a freshman. Now he does have some pop. The thing that worries me about it, or what doesn't worry me about it, the matchup that I see is, you know, you mentioned advantages, you know, in the stats and all that. Yeah, it's gonna be that way. The mound matchups. You're going to have Vellini. More than likely, you have Vellini on Friday. Well, all weekend it's going to be a matchup until Sunday, and I'll get to Sunday in just a second. Their Friday starter, Jake Riddell, he's a sophomore. He actually moved from their Sunday starter to their Friday starter this year, so that's, you could say, is their best arm. But he's 1-3 with a 7.65 ERA.
Oof,
and only 16 strikeouts.
Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah. Watching him, I did notice he has a he has a steep over the top rotation, which assists with curve, you know, with a curveball. He has a decent little four pitch mix. Fastball ranges 90-92, can top out at 94. Curveball mid to upper 70s. Good break on that. Changeup, mid, well, lower 80s, about 84 is where that one really ranges in. But the one that thing that worries me, he's got a good slider.
Yeah.
And we know, especially with Miles Bailey, Max Williams, them back foot sliders hurt us. Vellini should eat. I mean, he should carve up this Fighting Irish offense on Friday. On Saturday, Jamie Arnold should come in and return to his form. We all assume he's going to be the Saturday starter. That's where he's been played since he come back from his illness. That's another day. Our offense feasts on bad pitchers. Well, you're starting the weekend with two bad pitchers for the Irish. I mean, you got Jack Denny's. He's a senior, 6'4", 230 pounds. 2-3 on the season. He's 6.41 ERA and only 23 strikeouts. What gets me, what's going to affect the batters that on Saturday is the where the pitch comes from. He's got more of a kind of a three-quarter slot, more sidearm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he does have a four-pitch mix. Fastball, 90-91 is about it, so kind of a slower fastball. Sinker, changeup, slider. Now, he will use the fastball to set up the slider and all that. They're all righties, so it's going to be a righty-lefty matchup again this weekend.
Yeah.
And here's the one that really – I laughed when I heard this on the broadcast because I watched them against Wake Forest and I watched them against Clemson. And every time their Sunday starter come up, every broadcaster said he hates pitching. He does not want to pitch. Because their pitcher, Rory Fox, came to Notre Dame – under Link, I believe it was, as a shortstop, but he's their hardest throwing arm on the team. Curveball, fastball, his fastball range is about 94, can hit upper 90s sometimes. Another over-the-top arm slot. He's really tough on right-handed hitters. He's 0-1 on the season, but he's only got a 3.66 ERA, 27 strikeouts. And the thing about his slider is more of a gyro slider. It's not going to really break at that back foot. It's going to really dance a little bit more. He's all over the zone, I noticed. And that's the thing that's going to – he can fill the zone up, which is going to make – on Sunday, the batters are going to probably struggle a little bit because if you got a pitcher that can hit the zone where he needs to hit it, our batters try to bite. And that's what's going to worry me. But other than that, all in all, Notre Dame shouldn't be an issue, shouldn't be a worry. Would I say a sweep? No. You know, because we could always lose a game, especially if the bullpen don't show up. We have to rely on them. But going up there, a different feel, maybe not the distractions Miami had. I believe Jamie Arnold's going to come out and be more focused than ever after last outing where he gave up the most earned runs he's had in his whole career at Florida State. Vellini will do what he does. There's not a lot on this Notre Dame team that's really to worry about. I mean, if you watch them, yeah, they held Clemson. I believe the first game was 2-1. They lost 2-1, then come around and beat them. But not trying to make excuses. Game two versus Clemson, the one they took, Clemson was missing their best player because he got ejected in game one.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I mean, you can't get called out on strike three and then draw a line in the other batter's box without getting tossed. But
I wish somebody had drawn a line on the check swing last year. That would have been worth getting tossed for.
Which, did you notice last night we had another incident with that?
Oh, we sure did. I almost tweeted out, like, what is it with us and check swings, man?
I mean, the game would probably have been over and we wouldn't have had to worry about Lodice having to hammer one out if that check swing would have been called. But Notre Dame, they struggle. They've only had one home series and they're 1-3 at home. They're 9-6 away. They're 2-0 neutral. That this is not the Link Jarrett led Notre Dame team that we seen a few years ago, and not the remnants of it that we seen 2 years ago when we went back up there. So this weekend, Jesse, I mean, it's just not a lot to be worried about. I mean, this one will be probably one that Noah Sheffield and some of the other, like B.J. Gibson, gets a lot of playing time, which he's been kind of absent from the lineup here lately.
I'm sure spring football might have a thing or two to do with that,
But some of the younger players should get a lot of playing time in this series, because I ain't saying they're horrible, and this is baseball, and me and you say it all the time, anything can happen in baseball.
Yep.
But going off what I watched and going off what I see on the stats, it's going to be an easy weekend, and just hope it ain't cold.
Yeah. And I mean, really, I think that's the thing. Like, any given team can beat any given team on any given day when it's baseball. It just takes one pitcher being hot and one pitcher being off. That's something we saw in that Miami game where we lost, you know, game two, where their pitcher was hot and Jamie Arnold was not. That's all it took. And things went broke the other way. So like you said, man, you never want to guarantee a sweep, but this is a series that you should, when you look at the numbers. You know, of course, our offense has struggled a little bit with that slider, like you talked about. They've struggled a little bit with the velocity, which is what we saw in that first round, that first matchup against Florida. But it doesn't sound like they have a whole lot of that at Notre Dame that's deadly. So this is something that you should be able to come out and win. You know, the one thing that maybe worries me a little bit in kind of a weird way is that, you know, when they talked about Link Jarrett coming to Florida State from Notre Dame, and they talked about the crowds and things like that, and especially when it's a team that's not doing great this year, you just kind of worry about it being kind of that sleepy series away from home. It's just kind of quiet, you know. You're not going to have the emotional charge like you did in front of a sold out crowd in Miami or in Tallahassee or in Jacksonville. But when you're the visiting team, that's not necessarily a bad thing, right? And so I definitely think that this is one that Florida State should go up there and win, you know, and hopefully they can get the sweep as well as we turn our focus to taking on the Irish up there. First long trip away from home. That always worries you a little bit there too. But man, as long as they can celebrate that Florida win, put the emotions away, and then focus on this team. You know, Link Jarrett's not going to want to go up there and lose to the old team. I'm looking forward to this one again, because it's just always, man, they're fun to watch and you want to see how they respond. But, you know, Florida State goes up there this weekend to take on the Irish, and we'll see how it plays out, man. But I appreciate the information and the insights into the Fighting Irish there. You know, hopefully we come out on top in that one. But that's going to do it for this episode, guys. We appreciate you watching. Look, you guys said you like baseball content, so we're bringing it to you, right? We're bringing it right to your doorstep here. Coming off a just massive win over Florida, a series win over the Canes down there in South Florida. And we got some big ACC series coming up. So make sure you like and subscribe if you enjoy this content. That way you can stay tuned to Plant the Spear. We're going to be, you know, hey, look, Mike Norvell shut the door on the media for football. So we got to have something to talk about. And what better to talk about than a top five baseball program? So we're going to be kind of really digging down on this baseball content as the spring progresses there. So make sure you like and subscribe. A rate and review on the podcast is much appreciated as well. Make sure you also check out plantthespear.com. That is your source for authentic FSU coverage. I know Jeff puts out some of the most in-depth baseball previews that you're going to find, especially for these weekend series where he really digs in. So make sure you check those. Check it out on the website. Again, I just wrote a recap there for the Florida series. We got articles covering all the Florida State sports that we have time to write. Remember, this is part-time. This is a passion project for us, but make sure you check it out. We put in a lot of time and a lot of work. So appreciate you guys watching. We will catch you on the next one. Thanks for watching. And as always, go Noles.
Go Noles.